Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Joseph. I am here with Ken, Sarah, and Diane. Today we're going to be talking about some gun stuff. There's some ugly stuff going through the House right now.
And the Senate.
And this is going to affect everybody and their gun rights.
We're talking about Washington, D.C., though, not Wyoming, right?
Yes. Where this is U.S. House, U.S. Senate.
At the moment, Wyoming is not protected.
Dianne Feinstein has introduced to the Senate a new bill that is to regulate assault weapons. The preamble to this bill says to regulate assault weapons to ensure that the right to keep and bear arms is not unlimited and for other purposes. Now, if I start breaking that down into sections, I could preach for a long time.
Can we just start breaking things?
Well, first of all, to regulate assault weapons, the word regulate.
When I hear regulate, I think a well-regulated militia.
Why do you think that?
Because that's what the Constitution says.
And what does it mean by that? It
means we ought to have folks tooting firearms.
Does that mean that the government gets to issue regulations for the militia?
No.
No.
No. What does it mean?
The individual states are actually, it's a mandate. It's not just a, you're allowed.
But what does the word regulate mean?
To organize?
To be well-armed and organized.
To be trained.
Right.
You've heard about U.S. Army regulars?
Yes.
The reason they're regular is because they all have the same training. They all do the same things under the same conditions.
So they're just regular people?
Regular people who have
regularly
been trained.
And
as we talked about when Mark Jennings is with us, there is a lack of responsibility on the part of the state in providing training. It ought to be part of every high school curriculum that you understand how to handle a firearm.
It is his responsibility to organize something. He should be up in arms over this, but he's asleep.
Well, but let's not put it all on him. It wasn't like everything's
they've
was
been
going just fine.
They've been asleep from the beginning. So to regulate assault weapons, what is an assault weapon? Where did that term come from?
A weapon that you assault somebody with. Like a paperweight that I have on my desk. That's an assault paperweight if I so choose.
People are innocent until proven guilty, but weapons are considered guilty until proven not assaultery.
Before the boating accident, I had any number of weapons that would sit down there in my office, and not one of them ever assaulted anyone.
Nope.
This word, assault weapon, by definition, if you really look at it, assault is not the weapon. It is merely a tool. Assault is an action taken with malice by the one wielding the weapon. Now, there may be some stupid things to try to assault people with. Like over there is the Pillsbury Doughboy, a little plastic Pillsbury Doughboy. That would be a stupid thing to try to assault someone with.
Right.
But right next to it is a battle axe. That could be an assault weapon. On the other hand, we never hear about defense weapons.
Right. It's always assault weapons.
Yeah.
Never defense weapons.
If it's black and got certain attributes, which this particular bill goes into great length to discuss, and I'm not going to go into all of those because it's ridiculous. When the Second Amendment was written, it was
a musket.
A musket.
Yeah.
So we can keep all our muskets, but everything made thereafter
because
is an assault weapon.
The founders could never foresee such an awesome weapon as the AR-15.
Right.
Ben Franklin, master of inventions, couldn't see beyond a musket.
Yes.
So, to regulate assault weapons, to ensure that the right to keep and bear arms is not unlimited, that to me flies directly in the face of the Second Amendment itself.
Well, and could I just say that any congressman who looked at this bill and got past that line and was still willing to consider it doesn't need to be in Congress.
No.
Well, that should be a given, however. People will bring up the argument, well, does that mean that I should be allowed to have a tank?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You can afford it. However, if you use that tank to go harm someone, you're going to have to pay a price for that.
Right. Nowadays, somebody breaks into your house, they're trying to make it illegal for you to shoot them.
Yep.
If somebody comes into your house, you're supposed to just let them take your stuff.
No, you're supposed to flee.
Right. And if you can't get away and they rape you, well, then that's on you.
Fortunately, in Wyoming, we do still have the Castle Doctrine, which means you don't have to flee. You can defend
your
place.
That is a beautiful law.
Shouldn't even be necessary, but
right.
Unfortunately.
You shouldn't even have to say that. You shouldn't even have to say you have the right to defend yourself. That's just God-given.
Yeah, if I walk up to you and I rear back a fist and I start to throw a strike and you throw a hand up to block that blow, there was no one on earth who would say that you are not within your God-given right to defend yourself.
Right.
if I come up to you with a pointy stick and I poke it at you and you take another stick and knock it out of the way, no one would say you didn't have the right to try to defend yourself.
Exactly.
What if it was a banana? With a banana?
How did we know that wasn't going to happen?
First you eat the banana. So this is interesting for me as a tiny, petite little female. This is coming from the same side of the aisle that is saying hashtag me too. Every woman has the right to be believed. What if I don't really care if you believe me or not, but I just want to make sure it doesn't happen in the first place?
I think every woman has the right to shoot you in the face if you're trying to rape her.
Yes.
Or trying to assault her, beating her. I think every woman has that right.
Where is that bill?
Well, it's in the Constitution. You have the right to protect yourself.
And the right is not granted by the government.
Right. It's a God-given right.
God-given. The last part of this preamble that I want to get to before we go too far is, and for other purposes. Why they left out the word nefarious, I don't know.
They couldn't spell it.
But to regulate assault weapons, to ensure that the right to keep and bear arms is not unlimited, and for other purposes. We're just writing this bill for the hell of it.
Right.
Yep.
We got our plan.
Well, and I believe it was Chuck Schumer that said, hey, let's just put this out here and see where it goes. Well, that's pretty much what they're doing, is writing it for the hell of it.
Isn't that pretty much the same thing that Andrew Cuomo was doing?
Yeah, pretty much.
Let's just put this line out here and see how far it goes.
Yeah. Well, let's just put these sick people in nursing homes, see how far that goes.
Yeah. We didn't like him anyway.
Yeah.
He was just confused.
Yeah, he was confused.
He didn't know the law.
When he was assaulting all those women, he was just confused.
Been hanging around Biden for too long.
Hey, does this pass the sniff test, huh?
Grab him by the pudding.
Woo. Make sure we articulate that properly. So the reason that I bring this up, other than the obvious, and we're all looking at it from the same perspective, and I would guess that 95 to 99% of the people that hear this would think the same way, is this sort of thing, should it actually become law, gives a real serious pause to those of us who are Christians, who understand we have an admonition from Scripture to obey the laws of the land. We have an obligation as well, a God-given responsibility, as we talked about in the first segment, not only to educate our children, but to defend them, to protect them. Where do we begin to draw the lines? At what point do we, if they come to take the weapons, at what point do we step out on the porch and say this much and no farther? And that is a very tough question, and I don't expect us to answer that today.
Well,
but it's something we all have to think about.
My answer to that was several years ago.
Yep.
We should have been doing something several years ago to stop all of this.
Okay, we should have, woulda, shoulda, coulda, but we didn't. So now where are we at?
We're down to the wire.
Yeah. And now this is something else that Joe and I have talked about several times independently. You've lived much of your life as a single. Pretty much whatever you did didn't really affect anyone else. But there comes a point in a lot of our lives where we are responsible not only for ourselves and our own actions, but our family and our children. Now, if I stand out on that porch and I say, I can't do it right, but I say, go ahead, coppa.
You never take me alive, see?
Yeah. And we shoot it out and I'm taken out of the way. Yes, I'm within my God-given right to defend myself, but I'm also, one could argue, neglecting, defending, and caring for my family, and I leave them at the mercy of whoever these people are. It is a very, very difficult and challenging thing, especially for the Christian who says, where do I draw the line? Not like Barack Obama drawing a red line.
How many lines was that that he had to draw?
Yeah, okay, this far. Yeah. Okay, this far. Where do I draw the line, and how do I know what is acceptable?
Let's look at the Revolutionary War. People were still looking at the same problem, leaving their families defenseless and going and fighting for what they believed in. We're kind of approaching that same situation. The men that fought and died in the Revolutionary War, they were godsend. They made a decision, they left their families defenseless, and some of their families died because of it. They did what they knew was right. You can't put a price on the future of your liberty.
Not just the future of the liberty of you and your family, but
everybody
entire
else.
Culture.
Right.
And that's kind of what my answer would be is, okay, we might be the initial martyrs that die for this and something terrible happens to our families because of it. I guarantee if they come to the front step and they take out Joe, I'm the next in line because I will take up arms against them at that point. And it does kind of leave my kids in a vulnerable situation. But then what happens if all of us remain quiet? And this constantly comes back to me to the stories of the people who lived near the train tracks and the trains that were being filled with Jews to take them off to the concentration camps. Those people remained quiet and did nothing for the sake of their families, but how many other families were slaughtered by the millions because they didn't do anything? Whereas you look at the Revolutionary War and there's, you know, the shot heard around the world, which still, it still kind of took a while for things to get going. At some point, there will be the shot heard around the world for this next thing, and that will trigger a chain of events that will finally get people to wake up. But it seems to me like that's what it's going to take. Because the strategy of Christians thus far has been, well, we're supposed to obey our government, and so we're gonna do this in the legal way. So we're going to offer counter bills, or we're going to vote against this, or we're going to make committees or whatever. At some point, that's worn out and it's not going to work anymore.
There's always a fear of war, that war should be a last resort. There's a fear of death. There's a fear of all the other things that it would bring. But if you look at somebody like Patrick Henry, who said, give me liberty or give me death, he realized they were things worse than death.
Right.
To live as those Jews who were being loaded onto the train lived was worse than going out free,
right,
in my mind. And I've made up my mind what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it in the situation that I may or may not be. Everybody has to make up their own mind.
We're sitting here talking about gun control and how did that start? How were they able to load all those Jews into train cars? They were unarmed. The military was the only people that had guns. The Nazis were the only people that had guns. And so it was easy to load them into the train cars. People that are anti-gun are ignoring history. If you are defenseless, you will be treated like a sheep to the lions. If you're a lion, they're going to leave you alone. They're scared of you.
Anti-gun is like anti-shovel.
Right.
You know, it's like anti-saw. It'd be pretty hard to have a house without having a saw first.
Well, and that's the question that I keep wanting to ask people that are in favor of gun control. Their argument is guns are killing all of these people.
The number one murder weapon in the United States is feet and hands. People are being beaten to death with fists more than they're being shot.
Because people were more than capable of killing people by the thousands before we had guns.
Right.
But there's only one reason to try to take the guns away. The thing about guns is they even the battlefield. They even the playing field, I guess, right, is the term.
It's not really a playing field with guns.
we ain't playing anymore.
If your rich old grandma is sitting in her beautiful home all by herself and somebody comes a-knocking trying to rob grandma's house, what's grandma going to do?
If my 95-pound daughter is leading her kids across a parking lot, and five or six thugs come out of the bushes and decide that they're going to take whatever it is that they want, and she happens to be armed with what they might term an assault weapon, maybe she would stand a chance. We hear all of these MS-13 and other gang things. If the world comes to a point where police have got their hands full, National Guardsmen have got their hands full, all kinds of things are happening, natural disasters, whatever it is, that's a perfect opportunity for a lot of bad people to band together. And if I'm going to go out there with my hunting rifle, which nobody needs 10 bullets to kill a deer.
Well, they know?
I've seen some people from Wisconsin that probably needed 25 to kill a deer because they couldn't shoot. I'm not worried about killing a deer. I can handle that. I'm worried about what happens if 10 or 12 or 15 ne'er-do-wells, whether they be wearing a government uniform or whether they just be a bunch of thugs, are coming to take what is not theirs. I have a God-given right and, I would say, a responsibility to stand up for law and order, for freedom, and I would do that.